Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Nate and TD. Yep, that's the show Friday nights at 6 o'clock. Come hear it right here on ESPN 102.5, the game. They debuted that this past Friday, and we've got half of that crew with us right now. Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver, is on the line with us. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. How did everything go, the debut show, and how's everything going on your end these days?
Oh, man, things are going great. I think the first show was amazing. Me and TD are trying to, you know, find our chemistry, but I don't think it'd be difficult. We kind of both get into some of the same things, have some of the same ideas about, you know, a lot of things that are going on, not only in the NFL, but in the world today. So I think it creates a great dialogue. I think we have some good things going and ahead of us, and we're definitely looking forward to the rest of the season and giving people great content.
Well, you shouldn't be a stranger to trying to have chemistry with somebody. You, as a former receiver, always were trying to get chemistry with whoever your quarterback was.
And trust me, I had enough. It was enough, you know. I had enough of them there. So I'm used to making sure that even if there's just one day to prepare, we're going to make sure we give the best performance we possibly can give.
I remember that Monday Night Football game. I think it was your last year here. I think so. That would have been, what, 2014, the Monday Night game against the Steelers. Didn't you have that big bomb down the left sideline, what, an 80-yard touchdown right before the half?
Yes.
Against your former team?
Yes, with my guy Zach Mettenberger.
I was gonna quiz Willie and Chase if they could remember the quarterback. The Met Show.
Yeah, man. You know, it was a journey, man. I think we had some great guys throughout my time. Unfortunately, we couldn't find any stability, but throughout the time, you know, you had a lot of great potential candidates to come in and do some great things. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be consistent, I don't think, as we wanted to be. But as you stated, man, there were some great plays in there, just as the Steelers play that we had right before half.
So let's get caught up. It's been a while since we've talked to you. So what are you up to these days? I know you've been out of the league now for a while. So how's life after football going for Nate Washington?
Oh, man, life is going good. You know, just trying to settle into, you know, the regular world. You know, playing football and being a professional athlete, you know, it's definitely a fantasy world. You kind of encounter and endure some things that you really don't have to take care of in the regular world. But being here today and having the opportunity to kind of invest in myself and to my family, you know, it's definitely been a breath of fresh air. A lot of things have changed in my life, but, you know, it's definitely been a time of reflecting and growing, and it's been nothing but excitement, man. Just watching my daughters grow up and come along as they're advancing and watching their personalities grow has been definitely enjoyable. And finding my way through the business world, just making sure that I'm making the correct connections and staying connected to the people that I've already been connected to, you know, just to continue to try to give myself an opportunity to continue to advance and not be complacent with what I've already accomplished.
That's outstanding. So take us through. Here's a guy coming out of Tiffin College, and you're an undrafted guy, and here you are in the big, bad NFL world trying to make the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so there's guys like your story right now here in town at the Titans training camp and training camps all around the league that are trying to make an impression. What is that like? Just take us back to, I guess, what was it, 2005, for you and trying to make an impression for the Pittsburgh Steelers and just trying to get somebody to notice your abilities?
I mean, well, it was a roller coaster ride for me personally, you know, speaking for the personal situation that I went to, because as you stated, I went to a smaller school in Tiffin University. And to be honest with you, as much as I believed in myself, you know, as much as I believed in, you know, my ability to play football, the reality of it was I was always a realist. I felt like, you know, I'd never wanted to get my hopes too high in a situation where I felt like it wasn't unaccomplishable. And I feel like it was, you know, the opportunity and the tryout with the NFL, as much as I was excited about it at the first part of it, you know, I was reflecting on it at the time, and I just felt like it was a long shot. And, you know, I went through a journey of questioning whether I should be there, to wanting the desire to have more opportunities in practice to showcase my skills and my talent. And it was an emotional part where that, you know, some days I was confident and some days I definitely questioned my presence. You know, I remember calling my mother on different occasions from my dorm room, just stressing and some nights crying about, you know, maybe not getting the opportunities the other guys were getting in practice, feeling like I was being overlooked, feeling like I was just being brought in as a body to have on the field. My mother, I definitely remember vividly, my mother just kept reminding me, like, you know, what God has for you is for you. You don't know who's watching you. I don't care if you stand on the sideline. You stand there with confidence. You stand there with your chest high. I mean, your head high and your chest out. That know that, you know, your journey is already becoming something that you weren't expecting anyway. So you just have to grasp every moment that you possibly can and take it for what it's worth, you know. And every time I got an opportunity, whether it was, you know, practice, rep, or it was actually a special teams playing in a preseason game, it didn't matter what it was. Whatever it was that they asked me to do, I was going to make sure that I gave 110%. And that's all I can, you know, control. You know, a coach of mine at the time just continue to harp on us, you know, don't count the numbers. You control what you can control, and when your opportunity is there, then you seize it, and we'll go from there, and everything else will work itself out. And that's just where I was at with you. You know, I had let go of the emotions of not being noticed around the time of mid-training camp that came around, and I just was focused on making sure that I was making plays in practice and in the preseason games that we had, that it didn't matter. You know, whatever outcome it came to, you know, I was going to make it tough on them and let me go.
I know in our conversations we've had Chris Sanders on the show and others that just talk about there's a couple people, especially early on, that help them, right? Whether it's a coach or a player. Who was that for you, Nate, at the very beginning stages, like what you're talking about?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I could probably go down a list of guys and priorities of who helped me. But the overall aspect of it that I tell a lot of people is the Pittsburgh Steelers organization kind of just saved my whole career. They gave me the opportunity because it wasn't one guy in that building that was more, you know, into making sure that he was looking after the younger guys than anybody else. You know, every guy, every veteran, every leader from Coach Cowher on down, from Mr. Rooney, you know, I'll never forget one time when we ran the AFC Championship my rookie year, and I went up to Mr. Rooney at the time, you know, and I just knew I was an undrafted free agent rookie. I knew he didn't really probably know me like that. And I went to him in the locker room, and I told him, you know, Mr. Rooney, I really appreciate this opportunity. You know, I know, you know, you probably don't know me like that, but I just wanted to come and tell you thank you, man, because this is far beyond my dreams to be in this position right now, to be in this brotherhood, in this locker room. And he looked up at me and was like, Nate, well, what are you talking about? You're the future. You know, we have you here for a reason. I know exactly who you are. But that's just what type of organization it was. It wasn't one guy that was, you know, dominant and making sure he was looking over me and my career on and off the field. It was a brotherhood in the locker room. Each and every one of those guys that were older than me held me accountable, from Jerome Bettis to Hines Ward in my room to Charlie Batch, making sure I had a place to go stay during holidays and have a meal. And, you know, it was just so many guys that were heavy aspects of my life and making sure not only was I becoming a good football player, but becoming an even better man, that, you know, I'd be remorse to sit here and just name one guy. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers, the organization in itself. They made sure that I had a career and not just a job for that year.
We're talking to former Steeler, former Titan, Nate Washington. And, Nate, I love hearing people articulate what goes into a successful team and in a successful organization. I think there's a lot of good vibes around here that the Titans the last few years have made big strides in that area as they've come out of the hole that they were in. I mean, they hit a low point a couple of years ago. But are you seeing some of the same things in their daily operations that kind of have you – saying, okay, this is a team that's got their act together?
Well, one of the major things that was a huge wake-up call for me when I left Pittsburgh and I actually joined the Tennessee Titans organization was, you know, no offense, but I just felt like the foundation of structure wasn't there yet. You know, the organization was fairly new, even though they had been around since 99. I felt like they didn't have the tradition yet. They didn't have the foundation of what the organization was going to look like, the discipline, the respect in the community, what it was going to, I didn't feel like it was there yet. And I understood that even being a part of that team at the time, there was going to be some growing pains in that, finding the foundation of what they wanted their organization to be as the Tennessee Titans, as of something I just left in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I noticed that was a huge factor in us being successful in Pittsburgh, because once you come into that organization, you know you're coming into a blue-collar, hardworking, do whatever you have to do for the team, physical football team. You know that when you're getting that with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with every generation that they've had. And I just feel like at a time, the Tennessee Titans, we didn't have that yet. But here it is, we've come to 2020, and I think they found that foundation. And it started from the head. Miss Amy, the owner, has done an amazing job of coming in and showing her presence, not only in that organization, but in the community, to show them that it's a new day and a new era of Titans football. And I think it's just trickled down from there. She went and got Mr. John Robinson, and he's doing an amazing job. I feel like as a GM, he's not only, putting together the pieces that this team is going to need to be successful and go forward with their quest of a Lombardi, but he's also creating the environment with Mike Vrabel, with the energy that we see not only as fans, but I'm pretty sure you all see as the media, incorporating yourself every day with them, to see that the foundation is there of a family that is going to work hard every day and do whatever they have to do to make sure that they get to the final conquest of winning that Lombardi. And then you go to Mike Vrabel, one of the, premier guys of our league at the time, even when he was playing, to have respect of a hardworking guy that was also going to be able to come in and relate to the locker room. And when you have a guy like that, as I've done other interviews and spoke about Coach Vrabel and his connection to the team, it's a huge asset. You got guys out there that will work harder for a guy that they consider a brother and not a dad. I don't know if that, makes any sense, but in all respect, Coach Vrabel is like that big brother. That big brother that cares mm-hmm. about you, that's going to discipline you, but also that's going to have fun with you. He's not the dad, the disciplinarian, that's always going to harp on you and make sure that you're always just acknowledging the negative aspect of your game. I believe in Coach Vrabel. I believe he has what it takes to get the best out of these guys. And as you stated, we can see the structure begin with the foundation of this organization turn around and be strong for what could possibly be the future. And I think the sky's the limit.
Nate Washington is with us. Nate, we just spent a pretty good amount of time in the last hour discussing what's next for Leonard Fournette. What do you think is going through his mind? A productive player, still only 25, 26 years old. I'm sure he feels like he's got a lot left, and he just got cut from a place that, as you were just talking about, right now they seem to be missing that in Jacksonville, that foundation you've been talking about. What do you think is on his mind, and what's next for him?
Speaking in the player aspect of it, I'm pretty sure there's probably a slew of things that's running through his mind, from disappointment to happiness, in all honesty, to, misunderstanding, to not really having the clarity that you need in this situation. So I think he's probably going through a slew of things. I'm pretty sure that, in all honesty, he's happy to be out of the dysfunction. I'm pretty sure he's happy to have a new clean slate and the opportunity to actually go compete on the top level with the organization that seems to care about, what they have going in their future. Not to say that Jacksonville doesn't, but It's obvious they're in the rebuilding stage of whatever they're trying to accomplish. And but I'm at all that being said, I'm pretty sure that there's also some anger, you know, feeling like he's been used, feeling like he was underappreciated, feeling like, you know, they did him wrong. You know, I'm, as a player, you know, I think a lot of times people will feel like we just go out and we just play the game and, you know, we make our money and that's the only thing that we care about. But in the same respect, you know, you want to be feel wanted by your organization. You want to feel wanted by your community. You want to feel wanted by the people that you feel like you're going out and playing for, which is the logo that you wear on your helmet, the fan base, you know, and the organization. And when you feel like those things aren't being accomplished, then I'm pretty sure, you know, as much happiness as you can hope for a new beginning, you also have to feel some type of disrespect and anger. So I'm pretty sure it's probably a slew of things going on. I'm pretty sure also he will find his way back. I think Leonard Fournette, you know, is one of, you know, the best backs in the league. You know, I wouldn't put him in top three, but I would definitely put him in my top 7 to 10. I think he has definitely an amazing upside with his youth and his ability right now. So I'm pretty sure he'll land on his feet, but it's going to be a wake-up call. You know, you can't – I think we all acknowledge these guys on these teams, the franchise players and the superstars and the Pro Bowlers, but at any given moment, you know, with the wrong organization, we see it doesn't matter who you are. You know, anybody can go at any time, and these organizations will do whatever they have to do in their opinion to make their team better.
Nate Washington is with us, former Titans wide receiver. And did you guys know that Nate actually has played for every head coach in Titans history? Jeff Fisher, Mike Munchak, Kim Wisenhunt as head coaches. Mularkey was a position coach. And Vrabel was a defensive coach when he was in Houston. I think you're the only player that has that distinction, actually, which we discovered when we did that Facebook Live
impressive.
Together. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So when you guys won the Super Bowl, and I know you were a rookie and breaking in 2005, but the Steelers won the Super Bowl that year. And then 2008, you won the Super Bowl, and then you came here after the Titans had won the division, had the best record in the league, and got knocked out by Baltimore. In both of those instances, what was the conversation like early in camp with the team as a whole of, all right, we accomplished a lot last year, but that's last year. We now have to focus on this year. And I bring that up because of the Titans going to the AFC title game. They want to build on that, but they also have to recognize that they have to start over, start from scratch, and do it all over again.
Well, to be honest with you, we had, like I said, one of the best things that we had about Pittsburgh was our locker room, the guys that we had. You know, for 05 was Jerome Bettis, and, you know, our defensive leaders were Jory Porter and Troy Polamalu, and well, although he didn't say much, but these are the leaders that we had. And even in 08, we had guys like James Ferrier on the defense. We had Ben Roethlisberger that was a veteran and a leader at the time. Hines was still a leader. You know, we had so much veteran leadership that it wasn't much being said about the previous year. We already understood. You know, we understood coming back to training camp what needed to be done. And the only thing that we harped on with each other over those times were just making sure we seized every single day. We didn't want to reflect even on yesterday, let alone the previous year of what we had accomplished, because we knew tomorrow was coming. And in order for tomorrow to come and be prepared, we had to make sure that we focused on those days and those days alone. So when those training camps came around that, you know, we may have came up short the previous year, and we felt like, you know, the next year may have been our year, we just came in with the hunger that every day we were going to get better. Every day we were going to compete. Every day practice was going to be like a game. And that mindset set and that stability throughout the season, throughout, you know, having good games, throughout having bad games, kept us focused on what happened the previous year without having to even state it. We knew, you know, where we came up short. Actually, in I want to say the 05 Super Bowl, we barely got in the playoffs. We were the sixth seed. You know, we got in on the last game of the season, and we played every playoff game on the road that year. So it wasn't a factor of knowing that, you know, just because they had came off a 13-3 year in Pittsburgh in 04, that 05 was going to be our road to the Super Bowl. The season was still a test of time. the season was still a roller coaster, and we had to do what we had to do to make sure we got in the playoffs. But once we got in the playoffs, we knew that we had what it took. We knew that the focus was there. We knew that our ability could give us a strong opportunity to win a Lombardi if we seized every day that we were supposed to seize. And that's what you have to do. You have to come in focused with the opportunity to look forward and not back.
Nate Washington, co-host of Nate and TD Fridays at 6. But you and I are also going to be doing a Facebook Live after every Titans game. So looking forward to that we can get your instant analysis on what you see out of the Tennessee Titans. So that's going to be a lot of fun coming up here in just a couple weeks.
Chase, man, I can't wait for that. I think that's going to be amazing. I appreciate the opportunity always to chat with you, buddy. It's awesome. And we're definitely going to break some of this Titans football down. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see this offense evolve. I can't wait to see this fast and young defense continue to mature. I can't wait to see what our corners are going to do. You know, I think this is going to be an exciting year for Titan football.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm looking forward to it. Happy belated birthday, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Nate Washington, Tiffin University's finest and former Titans, Steelers, and Texans wide receiver here with us. We'll have more coming. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.